The American economy has been dynamic for 400 years. It's adjusted to disruptions like the industrial and digital revolutions. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with an author who has synthesized 400 years of economic history into one book. The second part of that interview starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening, of course. We're about to step into the second part of my interview with Boo Srinivasan. Mr. Srinivasan wears many hats and has several legacies, and he's not done, I wouldn't think. Entrepreneur, thinker, TED talker, and former news aggregator, an emphasis on the grr from this former newspaper editor, by the way. Srinivasan's new book, Americana, is a retelling of the past 400 years of America's history of capitalism, innovation, disruption, economic and social missteps, and some lessons to be gleaned from those events.
But I don't look at capitalism as an ideology at all. I really look at it more as an operating system. And just as an operating system needs to be patched, needs to be updated, and I also think about physical infrastructure of the United States as think about it as hardware. And you think about all the entrepreneurial energy as applications that are layered on top, trying to meet these physical realities.
With attention on artificial intelligence and automation, is there anything we can anticipate for the American labor force? That conversation starts now. As you pivot back out of your book tour mindset and world, and you go back into your investing world, your entrepreneurial world, how did the book help you inform you and set you up for that next chapter for you?
In terms of the book, I think certainly it's a platform to talk about a lot of issues that are central to politics. And I certainly couldn't have predicted and did not predict, you know, Trump's victory. And I think these next 4 years seems very timely to see what the direction of capitalism is, because certainly you've seen there's some big media opportunities in new news brands. I think that the cable news business is obviously, even though people are, you know, cutting the cord in vast numbers,
right,
there's such an appetite for it that the revenues are going through the roof. So I think there's some opportunities in certainly in digital media, in news. I think it's a very big place. And rather than news aggregation, but actually editorializing and,
yes,
and being able to do that.
Content creation.
Definitely. And so that's something that I'm certainly looking at to be able to enter the national conversation, especially as economic issues are so central. And a couple of other things that have informed me as a way to look at the next 3 years, especially leading to 2020. And I think what you're seeing is a Republican Party that has just kind of splintered. You know, it's not a free market Republican Party, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have people in the swing states that are now newly Republican states, seemingly, that are calling for protection. And I'll tell you, for me, there's not a simplistic answer to that. At the one point during the Gilded Age, you know, most businesses were pro-tariff, these big manufacturers, and they were very pro-tariff because they were big beneficiaries of foreign products not being able to enter the domestic market. And they had, you know, that additional pricing power through the protection of tariffs. And the other thing was that the federal government at that time relied on tariffs to finance itself. There wasn't an income tax. You know, there had ultimately had to be a constitutional amendment for the income tax, other than for a brief time during the Civil War. So when you look at things like tariffs, when you look at things like these free trade agreements unraveling, I think the implications both for whatever business is going to do in the news business in the future and for what's happening in the broader terms politically, I think they're just so linked. And I'll give you a case that I've been thinking about recently. Facebook and Google cannot operate very freely in China, obvious. And you would say to the Chinese, you could say to the Chinese that, look, you've missed out on all the Silicon Valley technology. Here are these great services from Google and Facebook, and the Chinese consumer missed out on this. And the Chinese would argue back, so what? They might have missed out on it for a couple of years, but now we have our internet companies are worth several hundred billion dollars ourselves. You know, you certainly wouldn't say to the Chinese that you missed out on these great internet technologies because of your protectionism. In fact, they would say our protectionism was an incredible strategic asset because now we have our own homegrown companies that are worth nearly as much as these internet companies. Alibaba is worth
right.
a ton. Baidu is worth
Huawei.
A ton, right? Tencent. That we're here making this dogmatic argument for free trade and free markets in the United States. Yet the Chinese would say, we also have, to some degree, we're market-oriented. Certainly, we have billionaires and Bentleys and Hermes bags all over Beijing and Shanghai. But at the same time, you know, we have had national economic policy that serves our strategic interests. And it's better for us to have several internet companies that are worth hundreds of billions of dollars. And we wouldn't have been able to do that if we had just allowed the American companies to come in here and access our markets entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's that incredible counter-argument.
That is an argument that's never been talked about on this show before. I wish we could go deeper on it, honestly, because the Chinese play 3D chess, and they have a hundreds-year plan, and I think it was Deng Xiaoping who made the deal that this is the way we're going to bifurcate Chinese society. I'll give you some of the economy over here, but we're going to keep total control, socially speaking.
And what's going to happen in 5 or 10 years when the Chinese economy is the largest economy in the world, and it's the largest consumer market in the world? You know, one thing that people forget is that the United States was the largest consumer market in the world for a long period of time, because India and China were, obviously, one was a communist economy. Mm-hmm. The other one was, you know, India has so many languages. There's no particular language or unifying thread culturally. And same thing in Europe, Western Europe as well. You have different languages. There's no single market that's unified in terms of language. But the United States had this incredibly large consumer market that's unified by language, and that certainly gave us a lot of compounding advantages. And now you're seeing that shift into China, where China is the largest consumer market in the world, where Audis, it's the largest market for Audis and German cars. And so you're seeing some of this take place, and I wonder how that's going to compound. And that's, as odious as some people might find his politics, that's the Steve Bannon position, that in 5 or 10 years, if we don't confront the Chinese now, this is not my viewpoint, this is the Steve Bannon viewpoint, is that it's going to be too late. So that's another strand of Republican thinking now that's obviously in contention with establishment Republicans.
This is why I don't believe on the far left and the far right as a ruler. I see it as a horseshoe, because there are many on the far left that kind of agree with Bannon's take on China at the very least.
You're so on point on that. 100% on point. And that's exactly right. And that's one of the things that I try to debunk in this book. It took me 500 plus pages to do so. But I don't look at capitalism as an ideology at all. I really look at it more as an operating system. And just as an operating system needs to be patched, needs to be updated, and I also think about physical infrastructure of the United States as, think about it as hardware. And you think about all the entrepreneurial energy as applications that are layered on top, trying to meet these physical realities. And in between, you have an operating system. That's the regulatory framework, the social framework, you know, incorporation laws, patents, copyrights, all of those things. And they constantly need to be updated as the hardware and the software get more and more complicated. You know, no one would argue that if you have facial recognition software on the iPhone and you have apps that are checking your blood pressure or the dilation of your pupils, that you can go back to a limited operating system of 2007. You know, the iOS of 2007 could not support the advances in hardware or the range of applications now. And this is the same talk I gave at Microsoft, of course. And of course, I used a different operating system for that talk.
Good call on that. I hear a little bit of optimism here, because we're back to the dynamic about the discussion for market opportunities, dynamism in the marketplace, right? And I love your analogy of an operating system, because it's so applicable. Am I mishearing optimism, or am I just maybe less pessimistic?
History has a way of being unpredictable. So we could have highly optimistic, you know, we could be highly optimistic about it, we can be highly pessimistic about it, but it really doesn't matter, because history is going to unfold based on policy and based on decisions that we make. So merely being optimistic without, you know, addressing policy issues, I think obviously is not predictive of anything.
Yeah.
It's hard to make predictions about stark things, but I do wonder how the American national identity will change when you have a country. There's been this incredible Darwinian adaptation to whatever is happening, but at the same time, it's not necessarily a foregone conclusion.
Bruce Srinivasan, thank you so much for coming in today. I'm glad I kept you as long as I did.
Oh, thank you so much.
That was Bruce Srinivasan. His new book is titled Americana. It's rather sweeping, but still accessible. That was also part two of our two interview segments. Both, of course, are on our podcast page at Stitcher, Audioboom, and KGORadio.com. Just keyword search Techonomics. By the way, we post the musical playlist on Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio for each week's show. And for these two Americana segments, I borrowed some favorites from Steve Jobs's go-to playlist. Coming up after the break, we look at 10 technologies that are coming our way quickly, and the authors of a new book nailed it with their subtitle too, soonish. It's 10 emerging technologies that will improve and or ruin everything. That's coming up next, so please stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.